everyone, and welcome back to Maya's Reviews, a book podcast and blog. And welcome if you're new here, I hope you stick around. Just before I get started, I do have an announcement, a few quick things to talk about, and I do want to apologize that last week there was no episode, and I didn't really explain why. The week before last week, I had some family issues, and I was unable to spend as much time as I usually am on my blog and podcast. So I was unable to record an episode, but I was able to get a review out last week. And then last week, I went on vacation, so I wasn't able to record and upload either. But I'm kind of making up, hopefully. Last week, I did mean to review the book I'm reviewing today, so I'm just doing that now. Everything's kind of just pushed out a little bit. And I actually have plans through November, which is crazy to me that I have plans through November for the blog and podcast, but here we are. I don't know how to say no and not accept books majority of the time. I try really hard, but it's so hard. I'm planning on having one review and one episode per week. If I'm able to, you know, get a second review or a second episode out there, I'll definitely try. But as of right now, it's most likely just going to be one episode and one review a week. So just letting you know that before. So yeah, and then I think one of my other announcements was, if you haven't already, make sure you go and fill out the Q&A. It should be in my beacons, which, by the way, I also switched all of my links from a link tree to a beacon because, like, it's so much nicer. And so if you haven't already, my beacons is in the description, so you can go there. It should be the top link, and you can fill out the Q&A form. You can ask as many questions as you like. You can fill it out as many times as you like. You can have your name featured or not featured, whatever you want. Just, if you want to, ask me questions, and make sure you do that before September 3rd, because that is the date that it will be closing, and I will try and get that episode up the following week. So, I think that's all I have for announcements, actually. And, like I said, last week I was planning on reviewing the book I'm reviewing today, and that book is the first novel in the Crowns of Croswald series by D.E. Knight, which is The Crowns of Croswald. And I'll actually be reviewing the sequel hopefully soon. I think maybe next month or the month after. We'll see. I'm definitely planning on reviewing the sequel sometime in September, most likely by the end of the month. I think that's all I have for updates, and let's get into this review. Oh, also, I'm so dumb. Okay, I just wanted to thank everyone real quick. I hit 600 followers on my blog, and I'm so, so grateful. Thank you so much. I love you all so much, and thank you, just thank you. I love you so much, and I have no idea what to say. I'm just so happy about it. I never thought I would get this far. With my blog when I started it in 2020 when I was fourth, so just thank you so much, and let's get into this review. Before getting started, I want to thank Stories Untold Press and NetGalley for providing me with a copy of this novel in exchange for an honest review. All quotes are taken from The Crowns of Croswald by D.E. Knight. And a content warning, there are mentions of death and violence in this novel, so if you don't want to read about those, maybe this novel isn't for you. Overall, I rated The Crowns of Croswald 4 out of 5 stars. The plot was 4 out of 5, setting 3.5 out of 5, characters 5 out of 5, and both the writing and memorability were 3 out of 5 stars. So, with this novel, kind of think Harry Potter, but with a female main character and a mixture of many different tales from that of Percy Jackson, the Olympians, to the tales of Pixie Hollow. It's a really nostalgic yet new spin on magic, mysteries, and chosen ones. The Crowns of Croswald was published by Stories Untold Press on July 21st, 2017, and it is the first in the series. I'm pretty sure there's two other books out. I will have to check that, but I definitely know there's a sequel and a third novel. So the novel is 249 pages and is a middle grade or children's or young adult. It kind of covers a broad spectrum. Fiction, adventure, fantasy, and mystery novel. The book's description: this is a page-turning fantasy in the tradition of fairy tales, whimsical worlds, and coming-of-age stories. The Crowns of Croswald invites young readers to explore themes of stepping into their own magic, discovering their true selves, and battling evil head-on. Hailed by Kirkus Reviews as an action-packed treat with a relatable heroine facing challenges in a vivid world of magic and mystery, and called a new classic by readers, the Crowns of Croswald series is a magical romp through a fully formed universe with dragons, magical quills, potions, and mythical creatures. Ivy Lovely is 16, and she has no idea who she is or what her powers could be. When she crosses a magical boundary, she discovers a whole new world of enchantment and mystery. Making friends that will last a lifetime and save her life, she steps into her own abilities and discovers more about her hidden past, magical blood, and the power of Croswald's mystical stones. But all is not well. A dark history and an evil queen threatens all that is good. Will Ivy's bravery and wit be enough? Curious and whimsical, both shy and brave, Ivy is a hero that connects with readers of all ages. For those who wish that Narnia, Harry Potter, and Alice in Wonderland could go on forever, Croswald opens a whole new world of magic. Recommended as a read aloud for families and a first middle grade fantasy read, The Crowns of Croswald is a four-part series that will carry readers to a whimsical world that they won't want to leave. So, like the description said, it is a four-part series. I got it wrong. I thought it was a trilogy. but I'm hoping I will be able to read the rest of the novels, so hopefully I'll be able to review those on here and the blog as well. So The Crowns of Croswald boasts a moderately sized cast of characters, most of which I liked. The main character, Ivy Lovely, is a girl whose life is very less than fortunate. She lives as a scullery maid for Castle Plum and is unable to do what she loves most, which is draw and read. Me too, Ivy. Me too. Ivy dreams of attending the Halls of Ivy, which is a school where royals learn to control the magic stones in their crowns and where squinches practice to receive quills as scriveness. I found Ivy to be a very powerful and unique main character. She goes on missions all the time and, you know, tries to discover the magic and the history and this mysterious person that appears in her dreams. And she even goes as far as to try and save her friend from it's like a forgotten room where once that door is locked, everything in it is forgotten and you're not supposed to remember it. But she does remember, and she remembers her friend, but no one else remembers her friend, whose names I forget. But she does go and try to save her, which I think is really admirable. I cannot say I would do this. I don't think I would at first go into a room where I can be forgotten and literally no one will remember me. But, I mean, you do you, Ivy. I'm not brave at all. I'm a complete coward, so I would not be able to do that. But I guess it is technically, you know, her fault that her friend is in there, because she does convince her, like, hey, we gotta go in here. I'm telling you right now, this dude appearing in my dreams, who I can't quite remember, the key to him is in there. Which, maybe she's right, maybe she's not. I have no idea. I have sudden memory loss. You guys just have to read the book to find out. One of my favorite characters was actually Humboldt. I'm hoping I said that right. Which is Ivy's dragon, and actually a mini one, I believe, that Ivy is kind of forced to take with her when she's fired from Castle Plum after being late on this really important day, which I can relate. I always sleep in. And Humble is just adorable and always there for Ivy, and is just one example of the fantastic creatures that the Crimes of Croswald exhibits. If I had to choose a creature from the novel as a pet, I would most definitely choose a dragon. And I think, you know what, let's come up with a name right now. What would I name my dragon? Trying to think. What would I name it? I have no idea. Why is coming up with names for, like, dragons so hard? I have to do this every day. Jeez. I have to come up with names for dragons. I have no idea what I would name my dragon. I don't know if I'd own a dragon. In this world, I'd probably be super poor and not be able to afford a dragon. So, does it really matter? The writing and setting was the place that I had the largest issue with. So its content is most definitely juvenile or middle grade, but the information in writing is more young adult. And as an older reader, it was kind of difficult for me to keep track of information and storylines at some points, so I can only imagine how frustrating that would be for younger readers. But regardless of that, I did love how D.E. Knight brought their novel to life. It was vibrant and magical and just thrilling. And I also admired how much homage The Crimes of Croswald seems to pay to Harry Potter, because this is essentially Harry Potter with a lot of new twists, but less problematic and honestly better, which I might get hate for that, but Crimes of Croswald is better than Harry Potter. There, I said it. But for example, there's a magical boarding school. The main characters don't realize that they're a chosen one. There's an evil magic being. And all these aspects were things that the series had in common with Harry Potter and stuff that I loved as a kid. So I literally loved the nostalgia this novel gave me. It was really magical to read a book again and have that same feeling that I had when I first read another series. And I think that's really nice that, you know, newer generations can have their version of, you know, a magical series that they grew up with. So I think that's really amazing. And then with the nostalgia, with the homage to Harry Potter, it was really nice to a point. About halfway through the series, there were a lot of similarities between the two series, and I began to see the novel kind of like as a Harry Potter fan fiction type thing. Obviously, there was a lot of differences, and I think that's what really makes this novel unique, but it was a little off-putting, and I can see how this would be off-putting for many, but I was able to kind of overlook that. And it eventually changed for me, and I really love this novel. I think it's really unique and original, and that it's a great new fantasy novel for middle grade. And I did love the magic and world that Knight created, no matter how similar it might be to Harry Potter, because, you know, it is its own novel. I thought that the mystery aspect of this novel was perfectly executed. So as Ivy attempts to navigate her newfound life, she stumbles upon various fishy things that the school's headmaster or the selector attempts to hide, one of which is apparently someone that she kind of sees in her dreams that she thinks is kind of calling to her. So, odd occurrences change Ivy's outlook on the halls of Ivy and cause her to investigate, which, as I mentioned earlier, leads to all kind of fiascos and chaos and, you know, fun with her friends, so. But the one criticism that I have of the plot was that it was very slow-moving for me in the beginning. Some of the most perilous and dramatic scenes occur in the last few chapters of the novel, while the rest is primarily build-up and backstory. it's just a personal preference of mine, and I know not everyone will agree, but I find that I typically like novels where it's, like, a steady build-up, and you kind of, it's the action and mystery and everything is kind of, like, spread equally over the entire story, which sometimes can be boring. I can see that. But I like structure. Okay. But, yeah, The Currents of Crosswald is just a perfect read for tweens who love Harry Potter, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, and Tales of Pixie Hollow. And, like the description mentioned, even Alice in Wonderland and Narnia, which I know I have yet to read, and I'm so sorry. I'm disappointed in myself. I really want to read Narnia. I don't know why I haven't yet. I just haven't gotten around to it. I don't know whether it's like I'm above middle grade, you guys, or I don't know, but I really need to read it. I really do, because then I can watch the movies, because I always like to read books before I read the movies, before I watch them. Like, I read The Shining a little bit ago, because I'm always late to the party with popular books, but I read it, and then I watched the movie, and I was like, this is not similar at all, but that's besides the point. Anyways, but yeah, I really need to read Narnia, but regardless, besides Narnia, I really love this novel, and I think it is really perfect for teenagers, little kids, and tweens. It's really a perfect mixture of a bunch of different aspects, and I think that is what makes this book so unique. So, yeah, I really, really love this novel, and I think it's a really good thing for newer generations that don't really have their own Harry Potter. This is theirs. So, like I said, it's much less problematic and better, in my opinion. So, and there's a female main character and a lot more diversity that is, like, actually good. So, you know, just keep that in mind. But yeah, I think that's the end of my review of the first novel in the Crowns of Crosswald series by D.E. Knight. And like I said earlier, I am hoping on reading, actually I'm not hoping, I am planning on reading the sequel soon, and I'll definitely get a review up on my blog and hopefully on here, so keep your eye out for that. And again, so sorry about last week. I don't usually do that. I mean, we're like, what? This is the 17th episode, and I've never done that, and hopefully I won't have to do that again, but, stuff came up, and I wasn't able to get an episode up, but thank you so much to everyone who stuck around this long. It means so much to me, especially those of you who follow me on my blog. Thank you so much. 600 followers is crazy to me. I know it may seem small to a lot of other people, but it's huge to me, and it means the world. So thank you so much. And yeah, I think that's the end of my review, and I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please check out my blog, Maya's Reviews, at mayagreviews.wordpress.com. You can also find me at Maya the Bookworm on Twitter, Goodreads, TikTok, BookBub, and BookSirens. And by the way, I'm actually posting on TikTok again, so that's new. I like go on there, post a few videos, and disappear for a month, and then I'll come back, and but I'm trying, I really am. I just run out of ideas really fast. Plus I was shadow banned for like forever, so that was really annoying, and I was not motivated to post. But I'm also on Tumblr at Maya Reviews, and if you want me to review your book or want to come on the podcast to discuss a novel, maybe even just reach out to me. You can email me at mayagbookreviews@gmail.com. I do ask that if you are reaching out in regards to a review request, interview, collab, blog tour, which I have no idea how to do a blog tour, but we'll see, or anything publicity related, that you check out my publicity request page on my blog first and then email me. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading, and thank you so, so much for 600 followers on my blog. I'm so happy. Also, on my Twitter, if we get to 1,000 followers, I may or may not do a giveaway. Let me know what book. You know what? Go under, when this is up, I will share the link on Twitter. So, if you're listening to this, share with me on Twitter, in the comments, a book that you would be interested in winning in a giveaway, because I would love to do one, but we gotta get to 1,000 followers first, so we'll see. So, just happy reading. Thank you so much.